You're listening to the Heroes Podcast Network.
Hello, all you friendly Force users, and welcome to a special edition of the Echo Station mini podcast based on the hit new series, The Mandalorian. And we've got a nice little name for our little mini podcast, and you're going to love it. It's called The Mandifesto. Get it? Because it's The Mandalorian and a manifesto. And okay,
all the eyes are rolling right now.
Anyway, I'm your host, Chris, and I'm here with my fabulous co-host, Ian.
Hello.
And today we're going to discuss the first two episodes because they dropped in the same week. And next week we'll be discussing the following episode that's going to be airing on, what is it, the 22nd?
Yes, they all release on Fridays. November?
Yes. So we'll probably be bringing these up, just a few days after each Friday. Just give you a recap.
Yeah.
Some hot takes. All right, so let's dive in.
So, first and foremost, by the way, we're recording this on the 20th of November, so...
Oh, yes.
It is officially 1 month until The Rise of Skywalker is released.
Pew, 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 pew!
So, get ready to feel all the emotions, because I've been reading some interviews from EW that came out recently, and it's going to be an emotional journey.
Yep.
To say the least.
The photos that have been released lately are gorgeous.
Yes, and all that stuff we have retweeted and tweeted about on our Twitter, so go to @EchoStationCast on Twitter to follow us and catch up on all the good Rise of Skywalker news and all that good stuff. But yeah, so let's talk about the first ever live-action Star Wars TV series.
It's been... 15 years in the making.
Yeah, because they wanted to do it after episode 3, and then that just never happened.
Yep. Yeah, I was an extra in one of the pilots.
Yep.
That was thrown out for when they were first shopping around for a live action thing, and nothing happened. That was a long time ago.
And what were you? Who were you? What were you dressed as?
I was basically Mara Jade.
Okay.
in the background of this cantina
Sweet.
Scene.
Remember, Mara lives. Remember that.
Yes, Mara lives.
In the toilet.
I mean, it's in the toilet. The toilet wisdom.
Yes, for those who don't know, listen to our previous episode and you will know what we're talking about. but yeah, so...
Alright, so first episode.
It is directed by Dave Filoni. It's called Chapter 1.
Chapter 1.
They're all called Chapter 2 and 3 and 4, but then they have like a little title after it. But this is called Chapter 1. Directed by Dave Filoni, written by Jon Favreau. If those names sound super familiar, Dave Filoni, you know, Clone Wars, Rebels, and
Jon Favreau, all the things.
Yes, Iron Man 1 and 2. He's done. You know, he's been in Spooderman. You know, he's done a bunch of stuff for Marvel. So they are both executive producing it as well, and then writing a few things and all that good stuff. So. This is Dave Filoni's first kind of live-action dip into the Star Wars world, because he's always done the animated side, so it was really nice and, you know, much overdue to see him do a live-action Star Wars series.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, if you're a huge fan of the Clone Wars like we are, his directing style definitely came through in this episode.
Yes, I can see it.
You know, it's... I've loved everything that he's done with Star Wars, so he's done nothing wrong with Star Wars. He's done questionable things, but they're usually kind of cool and questionable things. But so episode one, let's set the scene, shall we? It's 5 years after the defeat of the Empire, so this is post Return of the Jedi. A Mandalorian bounty hunter who we don't know the name yet, even though there's rumors that he may have been, the name may have been leaked. He's accepting, like...
Do we want to say the name?
I don't know, do we?
I think so. I mean...
And this is just a rumor of the name, and this hasn't been confirmed yet, so...
Well, this is what Pedro Pascal said.
Okay, what's the name?
in an interview, he said the name is Din Djarin.
Din Djarin.
D-Y-N-J-A-R-R-E-N. Which sounds super Star Wars.
It does. So that's
super Star
probably
Wars.
The name of our Mandalorian is Din Djarin. But we will wait to see. That could be a misdirect for all we know.
We'll see. I mean, I'd be fine with it having no name.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, I like
That's what makes him more mysterious, is having no name. He's called the Bounty Hunter or the Mandalorian. Like, that's what he's known by.
Yeah.
But so he's accepting kind of under the table bounty jobs because since the fall of the Empire, Imperial credits you can't really use anymore. The New Republic is being established, so they're kind of, you know, cracking down on the stuff. So you can't just go willy-nilly going, I'm going to take a bounty whenever I want to. Because that doesn't work anymore, apparently, after the fall of a galactic empire.
Oops.
Who would have thought? So we open on this. It's an ice planet. And it says...
We don't know where.
It says it's called Arvala 7.
Arvala 7? Oh, where'd you see that?
On Wikipedia.
Oh. Well, there you go.
It's Arvala 7. That's how you say it? Arvala?
Sure.
Yeah. And he has been tasked by an Imperial, would you call him, like, contact, I guess?
Sure.
A former Imperial contact to find a 50-year-old target. Now, obviously, we did not realize what a 50-year-old target would be until much later, but we're thinking, oh, some 50-year-old, you know, maybe he has connection to the Clone Wars if the Imperials want him or something. We didn't know. And there's an interesting theory, which we're going to talk about theories in a little bit, as to why they want this 50-year-old target. Because I have a really, really good theory, but I don't know if it's right or not. So basically, he accepts the contract and goes to... he's paid with a bar of Berserker Steel, which is sacred to the Mandos.
Sacred
Steel. Sacred Steel. And so he brings it to a... what are they called? Armorer?
He brings it to I guess you could say armor. There's another word, though. What is it?
It's not steel worker.
No.
Oh my god.
My Renaissance fair time is not showing right now.
Isn't it armor?
Yeah, you could say armor, but there's like another like specific one for people who work with metals.
Metalsmith?
Kind of. Whatever. Somebody tweet it. Whatever. It's a word. It's a word. You go to the... I'm like, man, I'm running through Skyrim, and I want to go to the...
Armorer?
Tip of my tongue.
Oh my god.
Whatever.
People are going to be like, these people don't know what they're talking about. it's
fake nerds. Yeah,
hello. So...
Anyway, really cool looking...
He takes the,
chick.
Yeah, and she's very, very cool. I love her helmet.
Yes, right? It's like Roman gladiator-esque.
And the actress who plays her says that she knows more than what she's letting on. So,
Mysterious.
So basically he takes the Berserker Steel. He takes the steel.
Berserker.
Berserker. To and it's crafted into a new pauldron for him. So I'm wondering, like, throughout the series, if we're going to see him get upgrades in the armor as he goes.
He's got to catch them all.
I just want to see him get, like, a full, like, pauldron, or a full, like, chest plate of this armor, because it's really pretty and shiny and silvery and all that good stuff.
Yeah, well, it reminds me of playing the old school massive multiplayer online RPGs where you had to go around and like, collect armor for your character.
Oh, yeah.
And you were trying to get a full set of the one that looks the same.
Yep, I remember that. That's in games nowadays, too. It's like, no, I don't want the boots to look different. I want them to all be symmetrical and look the same.
Exactly.
Because if I have all this pretty armor on top, and then I get these weird little, like, leathery boots, I don't want that.
We get it, Mando. It's an aesthetic choice. It is, choice.
And it's a good aesthetic choice. So, basically, he travels to this planet where this bounty target is. and these things called Blurg, which are a creature from the Clone Wars, and it was kind of fun. It was good to see those, you know, in a live action form. He's attacked by two of them, but then he's saved by Nick Nolte.
Yes. Okay. Hey, pause. Pause for a second. Are we completely skipping over the opening scenes? We didn't talk about the opening scenes.
The bounty scene?
Yes.
Well, I mean, eh.
It was hilarious.
Okay, we'll talk about that too. So.
It really set the scene. Okay, so he actually starts with fulfilling a bounty. Before he picks up this second bounty, this second 50-year-old bounty.
I kind of forgot about that, the opening scene. I don't know how I forgot about it, but I did. I
kind of forgot about the really cool
opening. Okay, so we'll diverge for a moment.
Yeah. So it's, okay, yeah. So we open on a very classic cantina-type scene. Where there's this blue-finned alien dude who's getting hassled by a couple of other alien dudes. And the Mandalorian comes in and basically saves him. But of course the twist is that he only saves him because that's his bounty. Yep. That's who he's after. And who voices him? Do you remember?
No.
That's Taika Waititi.
He voices the blue one?
Yeah!
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, oh my god, I'm almost positive.
Oh, I thought, I knew he voiced IG-11, but I didn't know he voiced,
I thought that was him, too. Is it not?
I don't think it is.
Oh, I thought it was him. It sounded kind of like him. Who was it, then?
I don't think it was Tyke.
Well, I want to know.
I don't think it was him, was it?
Hold on. I'm gonna look.
I didn't think it was. I could be wrong.
Oh, I thought he was doing a voice. I thought it was him. I totally thought it was him. Is it... Oh, hold on. Is it this guy?
He's a Mithril, right?
Is it...
Yeah. So his name... No, who plays him is Horatio Sands.
Okay. Okay. Never mind. I totally thought it was him. It sounded like... I thought it was him. You know how he's always doing voices? Yeah. Whatever. Anyway, he was really funny.
He was funny. And,
that was the other reason I thought it was him, because he's always funny.
And so, I guess he mentioned something, he talks about it briefly, like, in a passing moment. Because he talks about Life Day?
Yes.
Does this mean Life Day is so confirmed canon now?
They bring back Life Day, and isn't it Favreau who wants to do, Favreau wants to do another Christmas special?
No one else wants to do a Christmas special, though.
Oh, you can't do a Christmas special unless you have over 5 minutes of uninterrupted Wookiee speak with no subtitles.
I mean, yeah, basically.
Yeah, so, okay, so there's the... What makes the opening scenes of this first episode really great are there are so many random Easter eggs and callbacks that really place you in the Star Wars universe. So there's the mention of Life Day. There's the Kwakian monkey lizards being... barbecued.
Can we talk about the one that's being barbecued and then the one just watching it being barbecued?
I bet they eat
that
each other.
That is sadistic.
I bet they eat each other because those things are
I'm
terrible.
Like, Dave Filoni, what are you doing, sir? He's just watching it being barbecued and he's like, oh no.
Okay, so then the other kind of the last callback, and it goes in, well, it brings back to what the Mandalorian says to this guy when he is basically taking him away. He says, I can bring you in warm or I can bring you in cold. And so, of course, the cold, instead of just meaning, you know, he could kill him, means he's going to carbonite freeze him.
And I thought they meant just like he was just going to, you know, put a hole in his chest and say, well, you're a cold dead body now.
I think it kind of foreshadows that, the carbonate
freeze. Oh, yeah.
So, yeah. So he's got, like, this entire weird packaged wardrobe of frozen carbonite people in his ship.
He has, like, five or six of them, and it's like, oh.
And he just, like, sort of, like, scrolls through them.
So basically what Boba Fett did to Han, like, became infamous, and everyone's like, oh, if we can carbon freeze everyone now, so, you know, let's make that a thing.
Right? Yeah.
So,
because I know that because Vader was incredulous about it, like, I don't know.
He's like, yeah, if he dies, the Empire will compensate you for your time or something.
Yeah, it's fine.
He's like, whatever. It's
but
chill.
It worked. It worked, and so now they all do it.
That was kind of fun. I'm like, oh, yeah. That's an interesting way to transport people.
Yeah, I really liked it.
Speaking of transport, let's talk about his ship real quick, too.
Oh, the ship is interesting.
The Razor Crest. It reminds me of a ship from, like, the old canon of, like, when Jango Fett was a bounty hunter and everything. It reminds me of one of those ships that he used to have.
Yeah.
Before he got the Slave One. I love it. It's very much a Star Wars ship. We have yet to see it, like, shoot anything, though, or be in combat, so I'm still waiting to see that action happen.
Yeah. It almost gives me sort of a Slave One meets Firefly kind of feel.
I can see that. It's very much Firefly with the two engines, I feel.
Yeah. I mean, the whole show, the whole series so far, very, very much has that spaghetti western, space western, Firefly type feel to it.
I think that's how they're going to have the whole series, honestly.
Yeah, I really like it.
Okay, so anyway,
coming back to where we were.
Okay, so
we
diverged.
We had to talk about the opening
scene. I forgot about that totally. I just, like, was digging into the meat. I forgot about it. So sorry. we left off with Nick Nolte.
Yes, Nick Nolte making the weirdest comeback ever.
Does he play an Ugnaught? Is that who that is? Is that species or is that not?
Yeah,
Ugnaught. Okay, that's what I thought. And he has spoken.
He has spoken.
That's, I'm leaving every single argument now. If I ever argue with someone, I have spoken, just walk away.
Yeah, no, he's fantastic. He's this randomly helpful guy. He, you know, gives the Mando the information he needs to go after his bounty. Because basically he's like, there's this thing on the planet and nobody's been able to collect the bounty for it. And it's bringing in all of these dangerous people. And I just want to be in peace on my planet.
We want it gone.
I came here to find peace, and I can't find it. So here's what you need. Go get it.
Basically. And so he does, and he runs into a bunch of mercenaries protecting said bounty. And he also runs into a droid.
A bounty droid. A bounty hunter droid.
By the name of IG-11. Who is voiced by Taika Waititi.
Yes, who is actually voiced by
Taika that's the man who voices him. For those who, you know, are maybe questioning that name, he's the one who directed the most recent Thor movie, Jojo Rabbit, which was an extremely good movie.
What We Do in the Dark.
What We Do in the Dark, he voices...
Sorry, What We Do in the Shadows. What We Do in the Shadows.
What We Do in the Dark is, that's a different movie.
That's a different thing.
What We Do in the Shadows, he also voiced Korg. In Thor movies and Avengers. And he's also directing the newest Thor movie coming out whenever it comes out. But he does a great job with voicing things, and I love his take on this droid, because literally, like, any, like, moment of, nope, this isn't gonna work out, the droid's like, alright, I'm just gonna blow up.
He's a suicidal droid.
I love this droid.
It is such a great bit. You have to watch the whole battle just to really get the nuances of it, but it's hilarious.
Yeah, any mild, like, inconvenience, nope, I'm just gonna blow myself up.
Nope, gonna self-destruct. Yep. Nope, self-destruct.
And Pedro Pascal's, the Mandalorian, gets, like, super annoyed with him. He's like, no, just stop doing that. But so there's a huge kind of western, like you said, shootout in this open area, you know, and at one point, they bring out basically, like, the Star Wars equivalent of a railgun.
Yeah, the Star Wars Gatling gun.
And...
which is really cool.
So, they're like, oh, no. And...
also, these guys are apparently related to stormtroopers, because they can't shoot for shit.
Yeah, no, they can't. They take out, you know, some pillars, but that's about it.
Yeah.
So, you know, they take them out, and they blow open the door... and then they find this egg-type looking thing. And they open it up, and lo and behold, what is in there?
It's a baby Yoda!
And
And I will die for it. I will die for Baby Yoda.
They want this creature alive, although the IG-11 seems to have a different directive in that sense.
Yes, his bounty was different. Yes, so
he attempts to...
He's ready to shoot him up.
Assassinate it, and then turns out the Mandalorian shoots the droid, so we don't know if we're going to see him ever again or not. But,
So, and we don't know if he's saving him because that's what his bounty said. Or if, you know, he just didn't want to kill a kid.
Also true.
Or what appears to be a baby. Yes.
This individual is 50 years old. And obviously we know when Yoda died, he was like 900 years old. So, when do you think this species learns how to talk? Because if he's 50 and an infant, like, would he talk around, like, 200?
Yeah, I'm going to say 200-ish. 150, 200.
Okay. So this creature is 50 years old. We still don't know the name of the creature or the species. Everyone's just calling it Baby Yoda. And I think it's an appropriate name. And here is one of my theories that's coming up.
Yep, here we go.
So I think the Empire needs this asset because it is Yoda. I think they...
How is it Yoda?
I think they somehow learned how to clone Yoda. They lost it, and now they need it back. Because here's why. Here's why.
No, I mean, that's totally possible.
If you notice, so there's a doctor as well who says, you know, it's imperative that you get this asset alive when he's taking the bounty. On his shoulder is the symbol of the Kaminoan cloning facilities.
What?
Mm-hmm. So he's a doctor of, knows how to clone things, or is a cloning, you know, representative, something.
I like that they didn't go with the actual Kamino alien guys, because that would have been super obvious.
So I think that this is a clone of Yoda.
That's a...
The Empire got his DNA somehow. I'm sure there's, you know, some way to get it. And I think that they perfected a cloning technique on this species that is legit Yoda, because Yoda was the most powerful Jedi on the Council. Yeah. And the Empire's like, if we can harvest this and turn this into a Darksider, we're set.
That's a really good pickup there. I didn't see that on the guy.
It's worth... So I watched the episode twice just to watch things and, you know, prepare for this episode too. And I noticed the patch, and I'm like, I've seen that before and I don't know where. And recently I was watching The Clone Wars just for nostalgia reasons, and I saw the same symbol. I'm like, oh my god! So, because the symbol was on one of the lead Kaminoan doctors in one of the episodes I was watching. So.
Interesting.
I think that is Yoda.
But that's still well before the Clone Wars that they would have cloned him.
Right, but he's still within the... Because 50 years, so... It's been 5 years since the Republic. Or since the fall of the Empire. And then... So... 30...
So New Hope is 20 like years. 20 years.
And then between New Hope and Jedi is, I think, what, 5 years?
Yes.
So that's 20, so 30... So 20 years later would be episode 1. Because it's 19... Yeah. So it's episode 1, episode 2. So I can see it.
Yeah, I mean, it's within range. Yeah. It's just... But it makes me question who did it.
Who cloned them, you mean?
Who cloned them?
I would assume Palpatine.
Maybe.
Or the Jedi had some kind of contingency plan.
He hadn't really risen to power at that point.
No, but he was still doing some shady dealings.
He was just, you know, being all fancy on...
I don't know. And my theory could be totally wrong, but...
I like it.
I don't know. Maybe it can, you know... They might be able to fudge a few years, but we'll see.
You don't think it's the love child between Yoda and Yaddle?
Shut up.
What?
No.
Would you saying Jedi can't fall in love and have children? Is that what you're saying?
Not the ones that are supposed to be Jedi. Not the ones that can control their hard-ons, no. No, I cannot picture... Can you picture, like, Yoda just, like, flipping around having sex? No.
I mean, he does a lot of flipping. Yeah. The guy's got some moves.
No.
The guy's got some moves.
Jesus. Oh, God.
I don't know. We don't know how old Yaddle is. Maybe she's, you know, maybe she's in the fertile Yoda range. I don't know.
The fertile Yoda range.
I don't know.
That's a clip. That's just a soundbite right there. The fertile Yoda age. What? What are they talking about? Oh my God, I love it. Jesus. Okay. So that ends episode one. What were your thoughts on episode one?
I loved the tone. I loved the way it looked. And that twist at the end was, wow.
Oh yeah, I didn't.
And you know, before they even showed it, and I'm sure lots of people did, but you know, when they showed the thing, because I'm a parent, I was like, oh my God, that's a baby. That's a baby.
Oh, I had no clue.
Carriage. Yeah, no, I was immediately like, that's a baby carriage. And then when they, you know, and then I'm thinking that it was a 50-year-old target, I was like, immediately I turned to my husband and I said, holy shit, it's a baby Yoda. And then they showed it.
Did you freak out still?
Yes, I squealed, and I have not stopped squealing since then.
He's very cute. Well, actually, we don't know if it's a he. He's very cute.
So cute. It is so adorable. This is like the face that launched a million merchandise.
Oh, you know, at like cons, every single artist is going to be painting those little Yodas, and they're going to make a fortune.
All the little Yodas.
A fortune. I loved it too. It was a solid episode. I think that, you know, this whole first season, they're going to play it safe for all these episodes. I don't think that they're going to do anything too risky just because it's the first live action Star Wars show and they don't want to, you know, fuck anything up. So they're going to play it very safe, but still be very Star Wars. And that's what I think they did in this episode, and especially the second episode too, which we'll get to in a moment, that they played it super close to the chest.
Hmm. You know what really surprised me? The PG rating.
You didn't think it would be PG, or you the?
Well, if you remember when we talked about this before, when we were discussing, you know, where are they going to take the Mandalorian?
Oh yeah.
Just based on what we'd seen from the trailer, from the photos and whatnot, and from what people were saying, we were expecting a much grittier, maybe PG-13 kind of show out of
this.
Yes,
but then I realized that it's going to be on the Disney Plus. They're not going to do PG-13.
And nothing will be PG-13.
No, well, except for, you know, the movies and everything like that. But they're not going to...
Except for the Avengers.
They're not going to do Star Wars PG. They're not going to do a TV series PG-13. Movies, yes, for sure. TV series, no. They won't risk that. But there's still a fair amount of violence and action in it.
Oh, yeah. No,
definitely. I mean, you have someone get cut in half by a door. You don't see it happen, but you see his legs just pop on the ground. So, you know, it is inferred that he got lopped in half by the door.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I thought it was a solid episode. And people on our Twitter, we did a Twitter poll. That's the word, Ian. And so I couldn't think of, I'm like, Twitter thing? No, Twitter poll of how people perceived episode one of The Mandalorian. The options were either 4 thermal detonators, 3 thermal detonators, 2 thermal detonators, or 1 thermal detonator. No one voted 1 thermal detonator. 17% voted 2. 17% voted 3. And 67% voted 4. So,
well,
if that gauges anything. We also have the episode 2 poll, which will be done by the time this episode is released. But right now, of the 4 options that we have, I have It's Amazing, a pretty decent episode, I Need One More Episode to Be Sold, and Meh, It Was Okay. So far, the final two, no one voted on. 30% has voted a pretty decent episode, which is a step up from the previous poll. And then 70% voted it was amazing. So, we will talk about episode two right now, if that's, to, you know, that's a preview of what people have been thinking of episode two so far. So, lead us in, Chris. What has happened in episode two?
Okay, episode two. Well, our Mandalorian found a baby Yoda.
Yep.
So now he's got to take the baby Yoda back, you know, for his bounty, I guess. Well, we assume. We assume he's going back for his bounty. We don't know, because we don't know if he's a good guy. We don't know if he's a bad guy. We don't know if he's ambivalent, you know. So, anyway, he's heading back to his ship. Do we know what planet he's on?
I don't.
Did they ever say?
I don't think they. If they did, it was very quick.
Okay. It's a desert planet. We know that.
They love the desert planets in Star Wars.
Right? So, he gets back to his ship, and guess what? It's been stripped by our favorite little glowy-eyed species, the Jawas. So this is what makes me question what planet it's on, because there's Jawas. I mean, are there Jawas on other planets? Aside from Tatooine?
I would assume so.
Like, do they have
a spaceship?
Space flight technology?
I don't know. I'm trying to think. There's been Jawas shown in... on other planets and like the Clone Wars and stuff like that, so...
Yeah.
I mean, I would assume they would, like, you know, just hitch on a ship or something like that and then just, you know...
Yeah. So anyway, they have stripped his ship down to the studs.
Yeah.
Like, you could literally see through
the
ship.
Yeah, it's hilarious.
It's bad. He ain't going anywhere. No. So, but he tries to hunt them down, basically, and he, you know, one man versus Jawa
army. No, it's one man versus a sandcrawler. That's what it is.
Yeah. Well, you know, many Jawa
and
army.
And he calls it, you know, the Jawa, the movable fortress, and that's what it basically is. It is their movable fortress.
It is. It's totally. Yeah.
But it's very funny to see him try and, like, climb on there, and the Jawas are, like, throwing, like, droid parts at him.
Throwing just trash and stuff at him. You get, like, this, you know, like, Monty Python skit going where there he's dodging random crap coming out and they're laughing and making Jawa noises and you know he finally makes his way all the way to the top of the sandcrawler and there's a bunch of Jawas and they just shoot him. You know, it was like an Indiana Jones moment. They just stun him.
He goes down like a ton of bricks.
Yeah, he falls all the way off the sandcrawler.
It's very funny. And, like, the next day he's found. It's not even, like, the same day. Like, the next day he's found by Nick Nolte.
And somehow Baby Yoda's with him this whole time. Oh, yeah. So, like, there's, like, an autopilot on the baby carriage, on the floating baby carriage, and it just follows him around.
It's very funny.
Yeah. okay, so... He explains, you know, what's going on. He asks Nick Nolte, you know, if he can help him. And he's like, yeah, this is beyond. This is beyond what I can do in the amount of time that you
need. Yeah, we have to go negotiate with them.
Yeah, so let's go negotiate with the Jawas. Because that sounds fun,
yes,
right?
And then all the meantime, Baby Yoda is eating a frog, by the way.
Yes, it's so
funniest
cute.
Thing. He goes, the Mandalorian goes, spit that out. And he's like, nope, I'm going to swallow it.
So we know Baby Yoda eats, and apparently he's a carnivore.
I'm like, oh, he's just gonna eat the frog. Okay.
So he's past the milk stage.
Yes.
He's moved on to solids.
He's past teating, so...
Yes.
He's just...
So good for him.
He's on solids now.
alright, so he goes over, and he's like, I've got, you know, I can give, what do you want? I can give you this, and give you that, whatever, and they're like, well, we'll take the Yoda.
Yeah.
We'll take the baby, and of course...
He's like, no.
Mandalorian, no, is all no. Yeah, you can't have my thing. So he basically gets, what's Nick Nolte's character's name? I don't even know.
K-U-I-I-L, I can't, is it Cooley?
I have no idea. Kuai? I don't know. Something like
I honestly can't remember how to pronounce it, and I'm so sorry that we just butchered his name.
I
know. But
he says it, and I don't remember what it is.
We're calling him Nick Nolte, folks. Deal with it.
We'll just call him Nick Nolte. He's Nick Nolte. Exactly. It's fine. Nick Nolte is an alien. We all know it. So he basically, you know, asked Nick Nolte to try to intercede in his behalf, and asked them what they really want. What can he get for them? And they all start talking about the egg. They want the egg.
Yes, and I'm like, what egg? What is this? What is happening?
Which leads us... So now we're going on a side quest, guys.
Yes, this is...
It's time for a side quest. It's
diverging from our path of main quest.
Yeah. So we go... Basically, we go to, like, the anus of the planet.
The anus of... That's right. It did look like an anus, didn't it?
It totally... That's what me and my husband said. We both looked at it and we're like, oh, okay, it's a butt.
Oh, for sure. Like, I was looking at two, I'm like, oh, yep.
Yes, so he goes to the anal cave opening, where apparently he can find...
Wait a minute.
The show was never safe for work, just saying. Oh my
god, that's funny. The anal cave.
apparently the egg, whatever the egg is inside. And he goes in, and what do we have?
A beast.
Star Wars woolly rhino.
Is it, so it's not one of those creatures from, like, Attack of the Clones, right?
I don't know. It might be. Have we ever seen this thing before? I don't know.
It has one horn, and the other one in episode two, I think, has three horns.
Yeah, I think this is different.
But, yes, we have a large horned beast. Basically, it's a
furry rhinoceros. Yes.
He's like, no, get out of my butt cave, and he shoots him out.
Yeah. So he battles the furry rhinoceros out of the butt cave. You know, and he seems to have the upper hand on it, and then he loses the upper hand.
Loses bad.
And he's about, yeah, and he's about to get gored, basically, by furry rhinoceros. Yeah. Oh, by the way, Baby Yoda's just sitting there whole time.
He's just chilling.
He's just watching. He's just chilling. Because this is a smart thing to do with the baby. And so the Mandalorian's about to get gored. And then Baby Yoda lifts his arm up. And he does the Jedi thing. He does the Jedi hand thing.
He uses the Force.
And he gets all peaceful looking. And... The woolly rhino thing, it stops. It just stops. Like it's up against a wall, and it's scruffing its hooves, and it's trying to run at the Mandalorian, and it can't get anywhere because it's being force blocked. And then he lifts it up, which gives the Mando time to pull out apparently the strongest knife in the world and shiv it to death.
Which, by the way, one shot kill basically.
Yeah. Right. Like, how did that happen?
Which I'm like,
I'm questioning. Yeah, I'm questioning the biology of that.
Yeah, I don't know if he like
being
if
realistic.
He get him, if he got him, that's the word. Like at like the like good jugular or something, or like at a major artery. I don't know, but my coworker pointed this out too that he would still bleed out a little bit before just collapsing.
Yeah, it was weird.
I don't know if he just.
It was very.
Maybe his heart's in his neck.
I don't know. I don't know. I think they were counting on us being distracted by, oh my god, Baby Yoda used the Force.
Instead of just like one little pinprick of a knife and then
and not
you're dead.
Caring that, yeah, that the woolly rhino was unrealistically taken down by a pinprick.
I was like, how you call it the woolly rhino? It's hilarious.
It's a woolly rhino. Anyway, okay, yeah. So he kills it and he gets an even woolier egg.
Yeah, it's disgusting.
Which, I don't even... Like, how does that even work?
I don't know. I don't question things anymore in Star Wars. I just let it happen.
Yeah.
There's no sense in finding logic in this shit.
Yeah. Okay, so... Yeah, so he brings the giant woolly rhino egg...
To the Jawas.
Back to the Jawas, who are overjoyed, you know, and they all start worshipping this thing like a bunch of Ewoks worshipping 3PO. And then they whack it open...
And they just go to
and
town.
And they freaking just go to town on it. Like salmonella be damned. We are eating this raw egg.
Yeah, they just nommed on the whole thing.
It's the most bizarre thing. Like, really? They're going to trade him all his ship parts back
for
a snack?
The yolk.
For for the yolk. Are they gonna live off this for a few weeks? Are they gonna get high off this
maybe
for a few weeks?
Maybe that's like their psychedelic egg.
I don't know.
It was disgusting to see it though, because I'm like, they're seeing it being pulled out. It's like, it looked like semi-warm, like fondue cheese.
It was not. Anyone okay. Who knows I do animals. Not like egg yolks. I do not like egg yolks, and it grossed me out.
I'm like, really? Yeah. Y'all are just gonna, okay.
Yeah. So, I don't know. The significance of the egg, other than apparently it's super tasty, we'll never know. But it worked. And he got it, you know, he got his stuff back in a very short, we're gonna need a montage moment. They, fix his ship, even though, like we said, it was taken down to the studs.
But it's fixed completely, like nothing happened
between,
to it.
Yeah, between the Mandalorian and Nick Nolte.
I called it, like, this is their X-Men Apocalypse moment when... So, and people who have seen X-Men Apocalypse, they rebuild the X-Mansion Jean and Magneto do
yes.
without any kind of carpentry skills, any kind of, like, electrician skills. They just rebuild the whole mansion, like, yep, we're good.
Magic.
So that is their X-Men Apocalypse moment, and I loved it.
Yeah. Yes. And then he, you know, straps Baby Yoda in. And they take off.
He asks if Nick Nolte wants to come with, and Nick Nolte's like, no,
oh, yeah, yeah,
I'm
he
good.
Tries to get Nick Nolte to be, like, his first mate, which would have been amazing.
But he's like, yeah,
but no, Nick Nolte
like,
wants...
You took the problem away, so I'm good.
Yeah, he's got his peaceful planet back. That's all he wants. So we don't get any more Nick Nolte alien. I don't know, maybe we'll see him in the future.
He might come back,
no
we don't know.
He was pretty adorable as far as cool aliens go.
So that ends episode 2.
Yeah.
What did you think of episode 2?
Aside from the very questionable moments, I'm always a fan of, like, side quest episodes.
Yeah.
I like, you know, I like episodes that kind of build on universe, they do world building, that build on canon. It was interesting to see Baby Yoda use the Force and protect the Mando. You know, like, is he just acting out of instinct because, I don't know, because he saved him or because it's just the random adult that he's hanging out with, or does he sense something good about him? Who knows? But I liked it. I liked the tone of the episode. It felt very Star Wars to me. It had the humor that we look for in Star Wars. I liked, excuse me, I liked being able to hang out with Nick Nolte alien more. It was nice to have a return of the Jawas. Even though they're little assholes.
They were horrible in this episode.
They're just terrible, terrible beings.
But it was funny to see them cause mischief and mayhem.
Yeah.
So, my thoughts on this episode are kind of divided. Because while it was a good episode, here's the thing. We only get 8 episodes of this series. And they're only 30 minutes long. I thought they were going to also be longer, but I guess they're not going to be.
Yeah, right? They're very short.
So, to have an episode that kind of feels like just like a filler episode.
Yeah.
You know.
It was a little, it was a little season 8 Game of Thrones.
So you see how I think that they're playing it close to the chest, they're being very safe. This was an extremely safe episode.
I wonder how long of a wait we'll have to go through to get season 2.
Well, they're filming it right now.
Okay, so it shouldn't be too long.
I would assume they're filming it now. If they do the same episode count, I would assume beginning of 2021. I don't think we'd get in 2020. We could, but I don't think we would.
Maybe.
But, you know, I hope they do learn from fan feedback for season 2. Obviously, you know, the fans are going rabid for the show and they love it, but, you know, some fans are like, you know, this was a filler episode, so, you know, I mean, it established a few things, but nothing that they couldn't have done in a different kind of episode. You know?
Yeah. No, absolutely. I mean, it was definitely a fun episode, but yeah, you bring up a good point. Because we have so few episodes, it's an interesting choice.
And I'm looking at actually the episode list right now. We don't have any titles yet, but episode 3, or sorry, chapter 3, is going to be directed by Deborah Chow, and she directed a few of Jessica Jones episodes in, I think, either season two or season three. And she's the chosen director for all of the Obi-Wan episodes.
All right, so we can probably expect something a little heavier maybe out of this
episode? Possibly. Again, written by Jon Favreau. Episode four is being directed by Bryce Dallas Howard.
That'll be really interesting.
Written by Jon Favreau. Episode five is being directed by Dave Filoni again. And is being written by Dave Filoni this time. Episode six is being directed by the same person who did episode two, or chapter two, is Rick, I cannot say his last name, I'm so sorry, I'm going to butcher it, Famuyiwa? Famuyiwa. And this is the he's the first African-American to helm a Star Wars project.
That's pretty awesome.
So it's very cool. And it's a story by Christopher Yost, teleplay by Christopher Yost and the director, Rick Famuyiwa. Again, I'm so sorry if I'm butchering it. I'm very, very sorry. Episode 7...
We'll have to look for an interview. We'll have to look for an interview so we can figure out how to say that.
Episode 7 is directed by Deborah Chow again, and Jon Favreau is writing it. And then the season finale is directed by Taika Waititi, with Jon Favreau writing it as well.
And of course, we've got George Lucas as a writing credit on all 8 episodes.
Yes, he was present for a lot of the, not a lot of the filming, but some filming of this series. So apparently there were a few scenes that... George oversaw, so it's kind of cool to know that he oversaw some stuff here. So let us know what you guys think so far of The Mandalorian. Like we said, this is, you know, 2 episodes in, and it's a pretty good series so far.
Yeah, it's cute.
I have little gripes about it.
It's fun. Yeah, it's fun. I did want to say one of my favorite things about the creation of this particular series is that they are using a lot of practical effects.
Oh, yeah.
And Yoda is a puppet, and Nick Nolte's also a puppet.
Is he a puppet, or is he, like...
He's like a, like, partially puppet.
But is...
Like, somebody's performing him.
So it's not Nick under the makeup. Okay. No.
It's somebody...
Puppeteering him.
Else. I don't know who.
I thought that it was under him under the makeup. That's a good puppet then.
No, it's not.
That's a real damn
good
puppet.
He's just voicing it, basically.
IG-11 for a good portion was a puppet, and then turns CG for some of the action scenes. Yoda, little baby Yoda, has been CG for a few scenes here and there. But
yeah, but mostly puppet.
Yeah, but other than that, great practical effects, great set design. The music, also, we haven't talked about that yet. The music...
Oh, I love the music.
Is by the same person who did the Black Panther music.
You know, I've heard a few... Well, I've read a few people griping on the music that it doesn't feel Star Wars enough for them, but I really enjoy the music.
See, I can... Okay. I can see where they are coming from.
Sure.
Because it is very much... We haven't heard a single Star Wars, like, melody, quote-unquote. Mm-hmm. I'm sure we'll hear maybe, like, one or two down the road with... a Force theme or something, because obviously that's going to be playing into the series. But it's a nice change of pace.
Yeah, I like it. It does again have that kind of Western feel to it.
It's great cinematography, great writing.
Oh, fantastic cinematography. But I mean, we expect that of a Star Wars movie. Series. Ooh, that feels so weird to say. What? Star Wars series.
Oh, yeah.
Like, that's not a cartoon. Right. And you know what? And I had that kind of, like, I had a frisson when we first started watching that first episode that I'm like, wow, I am watching new live-action Star Wars content from my sofa.
That's not
in my own
movie.
Living room. That's crazy.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
They've done some great
stuff.
I
never thought we would get to this point.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I kind of thought that the whole wanting to do live action was dead in the water when, you know, they kind of canceled her plans for what was going to be called, Star Wars Underworld, right? Originally?
Something like that.
So, to see it come to this is very cool. I'm going to bet that episode 3 is going to... We're going to see some more characters. We're going to see... what's her name? Oh my god, I cannot think of her name.
I know who you're talking about.
Is it Gina? Rod? No, that's not right. Oh my god. Why am I just blanking right now? This is horrible. Can we not, Ian? Can we not? Maybe it's because, oh, I can't think of her name. I'm looking at, yes, Gina, Carano. She plays Cara Dune. Yes. A former Rebel shock trooper turned merc. So, I'm sure that she will be in episode 3 or 4. That seems like a good time to bring her into the fold.
So predictions for episode 3?
I mean, everything's been so under wraps and so secretive, I honestly couldn't tell you.
I would say, I think that obviously he's not going to go straight back.
No.
To Imperial Nazi guy. Something's going to happen. So I would think either he's going to take a detour. Maybe he'll go back to some Mando friends. Okay. Be like, hey, I found a baby Yoda. What do I do with this? Or his ship gets intercepted. I could see that happening. Okay. Yeah. But I think it'd be very unlikely that he's just going to go back.
No, there's got to be...
Or at least, for whatever reason. For whatever reason.
No. Interesting.
We'll see.
But yeah, so let us know what you guys thought of this series so far. Tweet us at EchoStationCast. We have, like I said, we have our polls up. We have our Rise of Skywalker stuff up. For those who have been following our Padme's Closet series, we're going to be wrapping that up in the next few weeks.
Yes, we will finally wrap it up.
We feel so bad because we originally were going to dedicate each outfit to an episode, but with this coming out and The Rise of Skywalker, we just don't have enough time on our calendar to do it. So we're going to do something very special for all of our followers for that. And we're going to combine the last, what do we have, 4 outfits, right?
4.
The last 4 outfits into one gigantic episode. So it's all Padme.
Yeah, we've got post-Senate gown, return to Naboo gown, the battle clothes, and the parade gown.
So the last 4 of her episode 1 attire. We're going to be doing all in one episode, all Padme. So get ready for that. Again, we feel so bad that we couldn't give it to you in episode by episode, but we just don't have the time for it. So Chris and I thought we'll give it to you guys as a final kind of treat to wrap things up for that season of that to do in one chunk. So that's good. And as always, you can follow me on Twitter at IRTurner or on Instagram at HouseOfTurnerCosplay. And Chris, where can they find you?
You can find me on Twitter at TheDirtWitch or on Instagram at ChrisJaded.
And don't forget, guys, on the Twitter at EchoStationCast, give us some love, follow us. We cannot wait to hear what you guys think of The Mandalorian. But until next time, may the Force be with you.
May the Force be with you.